Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Autism Empowerment Radio, your source for acceptance, enrichment, inspiration, and empowerment within the autism and Asperger's communities. Our show will be starting shortly. To listen to archives of previous broadcasts, visit www.autismempowerment.org and click the Autism Empowerment Radio tab. As a nonprofit charity, we rely on public generosity to fund our programs, special events, and support services. Thank you for considering a tax-deductible donation today. Our show is now beginning.
Good evening, everybody. This is Karen Krecha with Autism Empowerment. It's great to be back at Autism Empowerment Radio. For those who are not familiar, I had a hiatus over the summer. Unfortunately, I came down with a bad bout of pneumonia. Yuck. Basically that kept me from doing radio shows as well as a whole lot of other stuff. But the reason I am here today is that I'm very excited to let you know that Autism Empowerment Radio is back on the air, and we are developing a whole new schedule of content for 2015. And one of the things that we are going to be talking about as an organization and individually as well is how we can engage each and every one of us that is involved in the autism community in uniting the autism community. Now, what does that mean? Is it possible to unite the autism community? It's a difficult subject to tackle, and I'm going to be talking about it a little bit later today. First, I just wanted to give a quick shout out to everybody who was listening in for the first time. Autism Empowerment, if you're not that familiar with us, we are a 501c3 nonprofit organization, and you can learn more about us at www.autismempowerment.org. And we do engage quite a bit on social media. You can check us out on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. When you're at our website, you can just go in the upper left-hand corner and you'll see those Facebook and Twitter links. We're also on Pinterest and LinkedIn and Instagram and, gosh, almost all of the fun stuff out there. So if you're looking for a way to get connected, you will definitely be able to do so. And even more excitedly, I am going to say, that doesn't even make sense, but I'm really excited to let you guys know that we are doing a new YouTube channel. Yep, that's right. We actually had intended to start it a little bit earlier in the year. We did our first post, I believe, on it back in October, and I've done a couple different things then, done some playlists and different things, but we really are going to be focusing on providing more content in the 2015 year, both through video, through audio, through blogging, through social media, through a wide range of different formats, because we know that our audience listens and learns in many different ways, and we want to be accommodating to everyone. So that was my little plug for all that stuff. Uniting the autism community. So the other day, I just spoke upon my heart to write a blog about some of the things that I've been thinking about very deeply over the past few weeks, few months. As most of you know who've listened to this show before, I was diagnosed on the autism spectrum when I was in my 40s. I have an Asperger syndrome diagnosis, which nowadays would be autism spectrum disorder, autistic, ASPE, however you want to call it. I don't get hung up so much on words as much as I promote the intent and the tone of those words and the respect and acceptance that each person wants to be able to have. That looks differently from person to person. But anyway, my point that I was going to try to make was that I have been coming to Autism Empowerment and Autism Empowerment Radio in the past from an autistic perspective. But I've also come here from the perspective of a parent. I have two children, two sons, and both of them were diagnosed on the autism spectrum when they were 2 and 8, respectively. One was diagnosed at the time with autism, and the other at the time was diagnosed with Asperger's. And in 2011, my husband John and I co-founded the nonprofit Autism Empowerment, which is the nonprofit organization which hosts and sponsors the Autism Empowerment radio program. So in the course of my daily activities, I am regularly having the opportunity to talk to autistics, ASPEs, kids and adults who are not sure if they're on the spectrum, but they feel that they self-identify. I talk to a lot of parents, some parents who are considered neurotypical or not autistic, and other parents who are autistic. I talk with grandparents. I talk with educators, medical providers, service providers, government agencies, you name it. And of course, I am immersed in the nonprofit world as well. And so there's all of these stakeholders that are involved somehow in the greater autism community. And yet, it just really seems like, and it feels for most of the people that I talk with, that we're just really not very united. We haven't really done a good job of coming together. And there's an awful lot of reasons for that. But right now, you know, the message pretty much is that there's a lot of chaos. There's a lot of infighting. And for people who do not really follow autistic culture the way that I do, maybe you're a parent or maybe you're an educator and your exposure with autism is perhaps your own situation with your own kids or maybe the kids in the classroom, but you're not really hopping on news groups and checking out articles and really engaging very often with autistic and ASPE adults. And if you were, it would be perhaps, well, you might not be doing so on a regular basis. Why do I bring this up? There's a huge amount of conversation within the autism and Asperger community about the disparity among services. There's competition of suffering. There's challenges that people on the spectrum are facing, but probably one of the biggest challenges that we're facing is lack of respect and acceptance from people who should be allies in the community themselves. And that might include autism parents. It might include educators. It might include medical professionals. It could include actually fellow autistics too sometimes. I know that may not mean much to you at this point. But the reason I put this out there is that there's been a history for the money within the autism community to be going a lot of times towards research, to be going towards trying to find causes and correlations and focusing on negativity and focusing on crisis. And a lot of times there are people out there that really want to have a positive trajectory for their life. They want to be able to feel hope. They want to work toward optimal outcomes. Of course, they want to be able to find strategies and different techniques to be able to overcome challenges and to be able to make situations better. But in the process, they don't want to be put down or made to feel like they're less than, that they're not worthy, that they're broken, that they are part of an epidemic or this negative language that just doesn't help people feel very good about themselves. So a lot of times within, if you follow boards within the autistic community, you will see a lot of comments about how autistics have struggled working with and trying to bridge gaps between themselves, autism parents, and autism organization. And on the other side, autism parents, you know, a lot of times are coming into the world of autism from a recent diagnosis. And so it's very raw for them and it's very real, very emotional. Their world has changed and they're not sure exactly what that trajectory for their child is going to look like. And so they're looking for support. They're looking to reduce a sense of isolation that they feel. They want to be able to know that they're being good parents and they're doing whatever they can for their child and they're helping that child succeed. But in the process, there's a lot of grief that goes on as well. You know, some of you may have heard the show that I did on the autism grief cycle. That stuff's real. And I think that it's really important for both autistics and autism parents to have compassion and to have acceptance and respect for one another. As far as autism organizations go, they are wide and varied in the types of services and programs that they provide. By and large, the organizations that get the most dollars, and I'm talking dollars over $1 million, up to $60 million and so forth, the ones that get the most money to be able to support individuals that are on the autism spectrum are the ones that are focusing instead on, their primary focus is generally on research, if you look at where the money usually tends to go. And there's nothing wrong with research, but if the vast majority of the money is going towards that and nothing is going towards serving autistic and ASPE people now, and there's very little that families, then there's going to be a lot of people that are going into crisis. And do I have the answers to this? Of course I don't. I'd be really naive to say that I did. But I wrote a blog a couple nights ago, and I wanted to go ahead and read it here on the radio broadcast to basically just kind of put out there to the public that Autism Empowerment is very interested in working together to build a stronger, more united autism community. We're interested in focusing on acceptance and empowerment and optimal outcomes and positive life trajectories. And so we want very much to be able to have people come to the table that can come so from a place of grace and from a place that certainly, you know, you're going to have your own unique perspective, but that you're willing to sit at the table and be able to listen to conversation that's facilitated by adults who have lived their lives on the autism spectrum, as certainly autistic adults have an awful lot to be able to contribute into what types of programs and services and discussion really needs to be happening to support those who are living within the autism community. And I think it's also very important because there are a lot of parents out there that are parenting young children, children that are not yet old enough to really do much advocating for them. But we want to be able to help empower parents to be able to help empower their children to advocate and to be able to do so in a positive way. And so if there's fighting among autistics and parents, if there's fighting among autistics and autism organizations, if there's fighting among parents and schools and parents and medical professionals and systems and all that kind of stuff, it's just really not working for the good of the whole. So is it possible to strengthen the autism community? Am I being idealistic? No, I don't think so. It is possible to strengthen the autism community. And I'm going to just read something to you. And if you're interested in potentially being part of the conversation, just go ahead and shoot me a line, drop me a line, email me, oh my goodness, email me at KarenAtAutismEmpowerment.org. Now, one thing about listening to me here on the radio, and again, it's part of my neurology as well, is that sometimes it's really hard to get what's in my head out of my mouth and to have it come out sounding professional and appropriate. I want to be able to be myself and be authentic, but that means also I'm going to flub up and make so if I accidentally offend someone in any shape or form, I do apologize. I'm doing my best here to have engagement with a conversation that I think is important to our entire community. So let's see. Let me take a look here at the blog. Some of the stuff I've already talked about a little bit, but I think it would be worth repeating some of these comments. So I'm going to just kind of go in and go. I've been giving a lot of thought lately as Autism Empowerment works on our strategic plans the next 3 to 5 years. I've been wondering about how to facilitate meaningful conversation led by adults on the autism spectrum where autistics, ASPEs, autism parents, autism-related nonprofits, educators, medical professionals, social entrepreneurs, philanthropists, service providers and government agencies come together and form a cohort of sorts to discuss issues of great importance to the autism community and work toward a vision of autism acceptance and empowerment throughout the world. Over the past few months, I've had the opportunity to get to know a number of young adults on the autism spectrum. Some identify autistic, some identify Asperger's or ASPE, but many are afraid about embracing their autistic neurology in public. Because of the backlash that they hear, read, and perceive directed towards them by the community and even the autism community at large. The general theme that I tend to hear is something along the lines of, if I'm myself and I try to advocate, I'm afraid I'm going to be looked at as less worthy, broken, or deserving of pity. People won't accept me for who I am. And honestly, it's not a surprise people are feeling that way. There have been a whole lot of different news stories lately that have not had positive outcomes. It doesn't take long to browse news groups, comments on blog posts, and online support groups to see other people posting that people that are autistic are suffering, we're part of an epidemic, we're often the reason marriages fail, a tragedy, we should be institutionalized, put on medication. I mean, if you are a child or a teen or an adult listening to this kind of stuff, it affects you. It does. It really, really does. And I think sometimes when people talk, they don't really realize the negative effect that this is going to have on the psyche of the people that are being talked about. Imagine if that were happening to you. We also hear things like our existence is caused by X, Y, and Z, and if only we would do this. Try this therapy, take that medication, eat this or don't eat this, or spend 40 hours a week trying to change ourselves and improve social skills, then maybe we would be good enough to kind of fit in society and be recovered. Does that make sense to you guys? Regardless of the real intent that the messages convey, because I think that probably for the most part, people have good intentions when they're saying things, but it certainly doesn't come across that way when it's negative about people that are on the spectrum themselves. As autistics and ASPs, a lot of times we take these statements very literally. And although we might be able to interpret and kind of figure out what you mean, and a lot of us are very smart enough to know after we read between the lines what it is you might be saying, there are also others of us that know we're just going to hear your literal words and we're going to be taking that very internally. The spectrum is very vast. As Stephen Shore says, if you've met one person with autism, you've met one person with autism. And it would be arrogant for me to speak on behalf of anyone other than myself and my own life experience. But when I talk to other people that are on the autism spectrum and I get a feel for their opinions and ideas, sometimes I will share those thoughts with other people, because I think it's important that there are other voices in the conversation as well. So the people I've been talking with recently, I do a support group. I have a support group that I run once a month, but I also talk to people on the phone and in person, meet at the office. I have a chance to talk with a lot of, you know, everybody I've met, no matter where they are in terms of their levels of ability. I've connected with them in some way. And I don't know, it's a cool thing. You know, maybe it's the neurology, maybe it's shared experience, a combination of things. Maybe it's a sense of camaraderie that comes when you feel like someone inside of you has, you know, someone gets you, someone, you know, you kind of found your own tribe. But I guess it's really important when we can feel comfortable with other people and know that they get us. So I do think that there are a lot of us within the autism community that would work quite well together. Yes, there's going to be people that are adversarial towards one another, and I think you're going to find that within any type of culture, any type of society. But we have to be able to find enough people that are willing to build bridges and sit down at the table and play nice in the sandbox and talk about difficult subjects. I'm not saying sugarcoat or be a Pollyanna or gloss over any of this stuff. I'm just saying, hey, you know what? We've got some problems and some of these really stink and we really have to stop talking about people this way. And we need to stop all of the negativity and the madness, which puts oppression and self-hatred mode. It's got to stop. It just has to stop. And we have to support families. We have to be investing in the autism community that is going to be here in the present and our future. I can't emphasize enough how important it is for people to feel that they're being supported in the here and now. So another dissatisfying recurring theme that I hear concern about is a lot of negativity and infighting in the community itself. As I mentioned before, the average autism spectrum traveler, the average parent, service provider, and educator, they're not really aware of all of this, but it is really imperative for those of us who are trying to make our way in society to be able to feel that there's a sense of belonging, that people can come together. I'm tired, so tired of parents battling against autistics and autistics battling against parents and so forth. And I'm on both sides, you know. I listen to both sides, and there's validity with most sides. Oh gosh, this is very passionate for me, and I'm just really concerned about choosing my words carefully, because I'm afraid when I ride in a position where I'm working for a nonprofit, founded a nonprofit, I'm working on behalf of parents, I'm working on behalf of autistics, I'm trying to be a social entrepreneur, I'm worried that I'm somehow going to not do it right, and I'm going to make a mistake and screw it all up. And perhaps that has to do with my neurology, you know? I don't know. But I think that the truth is we've got to be able to come to the table and be ourselves authentically. For much of my life, I felt quite different than others growing up, and I wore a mask of sorts. I was very good at being able to adapt and fit in so that I wouldn't call a lot of negative attention to myself. But it was always very difficult at the end of the day to be able to decompress from all of that. And I see a lot of adults and teens and kids on the autism spectrum that are trying so hard to just fit in to this normalcy that they think that they're expected to be, and not succeeding. They're not able to be themselves. They're not good enough for who they are. You know, they just can't be themselves because the world isn't ready to understand them, and that needs to change. What's it going to take to build an inclusive society that respects and values all people on the autism spectrum and supports their ability to thrive and reach their highest potential? What's that going to take? What's it going to take to find people who are willing to advocate for autistic individuals of all ages, ethnicities, and abilities to be positively represented in the community? You know, I have people who say to me, you know, a lot of times, well, Karen, you just really don't understand my situation. And I said back, you know, you're right. I cannot begin to claim knowledge of what your life experience is. I might be able to relate to certain circumstances, but I am never going to have walked in your shoes, because that's the culmination of all of your life experience. Just as you can't walk in mine. A shame, you know, that it seems like a lot of times, you know, within the autism community that you have to, like, talk about, like, in order to get supports and services, you need to talk about what's wrong with you rather than what's right in order to qualify for certain things. And it's a lot of times people are doing that in front of their kids. And they're doing it in front of their teens. And those kids, those teens, they're internalizing that. They are picking up on it. You better believe that they are. And it's going to be affecting them, of their lives, if that is going to be the pattern of what they constantly hear about themselves, that they're broken or there's something wrong, that they need a medication or they're too this or they're not good enough that. I mean, it's madness that our society thinks that people shouldn't just be accepted for who they are. You know, when I talk about acceptance, by the way, I'm not talking about stagnation. I'm not talking about complacency. But what I'm talking about is being at a place where, you know, you look at your child, you look at yourself, you look at your situation, and you can cry about it, you can sigh about it, you can laugh about it. And you can embrace and face the journey ahead with a positive hope and outlook for the future. Now, I know you're going to say, oh, but you don't know my situation. It's this hard. And you didn't know mine. And I'm not going to compete with you on suffering. I just won't do it. But I'll tell you that if you're going to be in a mindset of negativity and surround yourself with negativity, it's going to be very, very difficult for you to break yourself out of that. You know, for me, a lot of the difficult and dark times in my life, I didn't know. You know, I didn't know what was going to happen. Fortunately, I was able to turn to my faith, and every time I turned to my faith, I was okay. You know, I knew that there was someone with me. But if we isolate ourselves, if we isolate our children, if we look and hope and dream for positive outcomes for the future, we're going to be in turmoil. We're going to be in crisis. It doesn't help that there's so much challenge in our education and medical systems in terms of just trying to be able to find meaningful support services that that kids need. Transition services are, you know, very difficult in most young adulthood. There are challenges all the time that I hear with adults on the spectrum finding meaningful employment and being able to keep it and having their coworkers, you know, understand their accommodations without, you know, it hindering their ability to be able to, you know, move up the corporate ladder and so forth. There's a lot of things that we need to talk about. And I think that if we want to support the autistic and autism community, we should be willing to come to the table and chat and ask ourselves, is what we're doing accepting, enriching, inspiring, and empowering? Are we working together towards a stronger society? I believe that there are those out there who can invest in a better future for us, invest their time, invest their treasures, invest their talents. And we're very serious at autism empowerment and having these conversations. We're going to be putting out a call in early 2015 for self-advocates, parents, siblings, educators, nonprofit organizations. Anyone connected within the autism community who wants to be a part of the conversation to join us. It's going to be facilitated for the most part by adults that are on the spectrum, but every stakeholder that's at the table has a valuable voice in the conversation. If you'd like to join us, send me an email, Karen@autismempowerment.org, and I'll be happy to contact you when we take our next step. I thank you for listening to this. I realize that it wasn't as smooth and polished as it could be. If I had been reading from a script, it would have been easier. My thoughts tend to go, you know, all over the place from time to time, but you know what? That's who I am. And I work every day to try to get better and to learn more. And I want that for my children. I want them to know that I love and I will work with them so that they will be lifelong learners that have the ability to dream and hope for a bright future, an optimal future. And I want that for everyone in the autism community. It's going to look different from person to person. I know that. it's going to look different from different cultures. I know that too. And I really do welcome and encourage people that feel that they don't fit into this conversation to challenge that idea and say, oh, yeah, I do. If I'm within the autism community, then I do need to be part of the conversation so that your voice is heard and so that we all have a chance to speak. Thank you for listening to Autism Empowerment Radio today. I appreciate your time. I respect your willingness to contribute. And I hope that during this season of giving, that if you have an opportunity to make a gift, that you consider autism empowerment, because we could really use your support. Thank you very much.